the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Mark Fogel has just landed back in the United States at Joint Base Andrews. The American teacher has been released by Russia after 3.5 years in prison for a minor offense, having medical marijuana in his luggage. Former CBS News Moscow Bureau Chief Beth Noble points out,
if President Trump really wants to take steps to help end the war between Russia and Ukraine, then direct contacts like this with Russia will be key.
At the White House, President Trump has welcomed Jordan's King Abdullah. CBS News Middle East expert Courtney Keeley says it comes as Trump pushes his plan to take over Gaza.
General Sisi and King Abdullah are key allies, and neither one of those countries are interested in taking in Palestinians. But it's a tightrope walk to negotiate and speak with President Trump about this, who keeps reiterating this over and over again.
In the Oval Office, Trump and Elon Musk defend Musk's recent actions involving the non-governmental DOGE task force. Musk telling reporters,
we're not trying to sort of right-size the federal bureaucracy, just make sure that this, obviously, there need to be a lot of people working for the federal government, but not as many as currently.
President Trump has signed a new executive order aimed at shrinking the federal workforce. It looks pretty, but the snow that has been falling in the mid-Atlantic states and the white stuff to come tomorrow in the Midwest requires plowing and shoveling, our Jim Krasula reports.
Winter storm warnings for heavy snow, sleet, and ice are posted from central Kentucky to southern New Jersey. The Washington, D.C., and Baltimore metro areas will see several inches of snow. These people stocked up ahead of the storm in the town of Seaford in lower Delaware.
Just to make sure that we have, you know, enough of the regular bread and the milk and stuff.
Getting food, everything you would need.
The shelves are picked over, lots of juice gone, no eggs.
A second developing storm has prompted winter storm advisories, watches, and warnings from Colorado to Michigan.
And Southern California is in for heavy rain. Many children in the nation are struggling to recover from academic losses during the pandemic. CBS's Allison Keyes.
Report co-author Professor Sean Reardon at Stanford says,
students today are still well behind where they were in 2019.
He says in the most affluent districts, a lot of the students have caught up, but
the poorer and the middle class districts are still well behind where they were in 2019.
Researchers at Stanford, Harvard, and Dartmouth say chronic absenteeism has slowed the recovery and is still a problem.
Rapper A$AP Rocky, the father of Rihanna's children, will not testify at his trial on 2 felony counts of assault with a semi-automatic firearm. His legal team argues that a gun he fired in a fight with a former friend in 2021 was a prop that only shoots blanks. A$AP Rocky could get up to 24 years in prison if convicted. Closing arguments are Thursday. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
The Bucks bow to Golden State. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing at home to the Golden State Warriors, 125-111. Stephen Curry led Golden State with 38 points, the most he's had all season. Jimmy Butler had 20 and 9 rebounds in his second game for the Warriors since being traded from the Heat. Damian Lillard also had 38 points in the loss.
I thought we didn't execute well enough out of that. You know, the screening, slipping, getting the guys involved that we wanted to get involved. We didn't do it consistent enough. And then, you know, it was still a close game. Loose balls, they got to them. You know, we allowed them to get off threes. You know, they got a lot of shooters, and I thought they separated themselves getting threes off, second opportunities. And then, obviously, the turnovers. You know, I felt like I had more turnovers than I ever had in a game today. So you're not going to win a game not valuing every possession against a team that's shooting the ball like that.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Here's a comedy to look forward to, starring a rock star duo of Bill Murray and Kristen Wiig. The two Saturday Night Live alums will headline the cast of Epiphany, which will be directed by Max Barbacow, who also directed Palm Springs. The plot sees Kristen Wiig as an heiress who has blown through her fortune and now has 2 weeks to marry a rich man or lose everything and end up homeless. She meets Murray's character, who is a math savant and billionaire. Really hoping there's no sex between the two leads in this film. As of February 14th, YouTube will be 20 years old. The social media platform, which started with people posting home movies and personal videos, has turned into a global phenomenon and a major studio that even makes feature films in 4K. According to Deadline, YouTube just reached another milestone. More people now use the TVs in their home when watching YouTube content than they do on their phones. Go figure. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Thickening clouds for tonight, a low near zero. Snow showers for tomorrow, 1 to 3 inches by tomorrow evening, a high in the mid-teens. And with sunshine on Thursday, a high only in the low teens. Right now it's one.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome 24 actor Glenn Morshauer. And joining the show all the way from Sweden, our favorite musical duo, 7,000 Apart. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Don. You are listening to this Tuesday edition of the Maggie Don Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. From local news to what's going on around the state, Civic Media's mission is to bring you real news and great conversation every day. If you want to stay in the know, you can subscribe. I can get the word out. Subscribe to Civic Media's newsletter at civicmedia.us/email. And every weekday, you will get our news roundup podcasts and our weekly newsletter, so you can check that out. Again, it's civicmedia.us/email. Okay, this hour, we're going to spend some time. There has been, I don't know, like an explosion of people in the media talking about is there a constitutional crisis? Is one happening right now? What happens if there is a constitutional crisis? And as an attorney and someone who's worked in government for a very long time, who's worked for a judge in the federal judiciary, an Article III lifetime appointed judge, a conservative judge, I wanted to explore this topic with you. And this is a complex one, but I think at the end of the day, I want to make sure that we understand why Donald Trump is proceeding the way that he is. And so how is he proceeding, and what is that? We've got to start there, right? And to start there requires us to go back to one of MAGA's creators, really. If you think of MAGA as a movement, perhaps you call it a cult. There's one guy who, especially in the Trump first presidential election cycle, and certainly continues since then to be incredibly influential. It's Steve Bannon, right? Let's go back. So let's refresh our recollection. This is Steve Bannon. He was interviewed by Frontline back in 2019. And he had a few strategic things to say about what Trump should do if he is elected again, what the MAGA movement should do if they succeed in placing a candidate in the White House again. Calvin, let's take cut 15.
That's what Trump is a rallying cry for that. Remember, the lead up to the inauguration is we're going to hit the deck plates running with these executive orders. We've got this whole system that Miller has gone through.
Tell me about that.
Well, an outside organization had done this theoretical analysis to show that every executive order that was still around from Obama and from Bush, and we had this whole thing. We had a team of the White House Council guys, the deconstruction of the administrative state, which is a huge element. Remember, You got two forms of populism. You have right-wing populism, you have left-wing populism. Right-wing populism is about deconstruction of the administrative state. Bernie Sanders and AOC is about more inclusion of the state. We're both populists, but they want more state intervention. We want less. In fact, we want to start to take apart certain parts of the apparatus. And so that whole thing is basically focused on the deconstruction of the administrative state, at the same time saying, hey, we're nationalists. This is about the nation. The nation's concerns have to come forward. We had in the first 100 days, every day we're going to be hitting with either three executive orders or whatever. Number one is that the Democratic Party's shattered. They don't know if they're coming or going. Right. They got one group that's doing identity politics, another group that's the Clinton centrist. I said, we've broken them right now. They have no idea. They're going to have their own internal civil war. Right. They'll keep them occupied for a while. So what we've got to do is just hit and keep it. It's momentum, momentum, momentum.
And he continued. Cut 16.
The opposition party is the media. And the media can only, because they're dumb and they're lazy, they can only focus on one thing at a time. And the one thing they'll mainly focus on is either they do the horse race, or once the horse race, who's in, who's out. Right. It's like the high school, who are the cool kids in the cafeteria, right? Because it's easy. It's the reason they do the horse race stuff all the time, right? And they won't do the basic, what are the core things that are going on in the country. I said, all we have to do is flood the zone. Every day we hit them with three things. They'll bite on one and we'll get all of our stuff done. Bang, bang, bang.
And finally,
muzzle velocity. Uh-huh. You got it. When you get anything in life, remember the house is 5-7 against, right? To get something done, you've got to go through these certain stages of momentum and keep forcing it. And so otherwise, just pure inertia, right? Or the loss of energy.
So, first of all, that guy needs to never drink a cup of coffee again. Whew! Take a breath, Steve. What is he saying here? He's saying that to exploit the fact that the Democratic Party is a big tent party that includes a lot of people who oftentimes don't agree on exactly what should be the priorities, that you want to lean into that fracture in the Democratic Party. And the way that you exploit it is by moving at lightning fast speed to dismantle the federal government in every way you possibly can. He, in fact, invokes executive orders. Wasn't it quaint that Steve Bannon back in 2019 talked about three executive orders a day? So understand, right, that the philosophy, the strategy here is simply to overwhelm. And this fits with a guy like Donald Trump, who really doesn't have any fundamental core motivating principles at all. It's purely transactional. What will sell now? What works for me now? Who is my friend today? And it is worthy of note that this very day, Steve Bannon has pled guilty to defrauding Americans, middle-class Americans just like you, who, and I would argue, a good faith, also maybe racist belief that we needed to build a wall, that would solve all of our problems, defrauded and pocketed millions of dollars. He's going to avoid jail time because he pled to that fraud, a crime. So a convicted criminal has basically scripted the political strategy as well as the articulated values, except this. When Steve Bannon talks about conservative populism, he never envisioned a billionaire overlord. And recall, just a matter of weeks ago, over the holidays, Steve Bannon and Elon Musk were at loggerheads over HB1 visas. So there is a fracture in the MAGA movement, and the fracture is this. Do not be confused. Do not be distracted. Here is the fracture. The MAGA movement isn't populist. It pretends to be populist because it has to. I'm going to get to more on that in a second. The MAGA movement, I can say with 100% certainty, isn't about regular people, though it pretends to be. It's not about making the government more efficient, though it pretends to be. It's not even about making people safer, though it pretends to be. The MAGA movement has been funded and directed by billionaires. As I have said many times, billionaires have no political party, no political allegiance. They know only one thing: the creation of more and more wealth to accumulate more and more power. So Elon Musk may appear today to be a MAGA supporter, but what he supports is Elon Musk's ability to control AI, to avoid regulation, to control government, to continue to funnel billions of dollars in federal contracts to himself, his ability to buy and sell politicians as if they were on a seller's block. That is the MAGA movement today. Now, do I condemn Democrats who have to take money from billionaires? Yes. But you cannot point me to one single instance or one single Democratic politician who has handed over the keys of government as Donald Trump has handed them over to Elon Musk. So do not be fooled. The populism is simply the mask. The idea of public safety is simply a mask. Because if you talk to any street cop, what they'll tell you is that they need people who are immigrants to cooperate with them, to not be afraid of them. They need the participation of communities in order to fight crime and prevent it. Now, why is Donald Trump the perfect vehicle, the perfect patsy for billionaires to manipulate? Because Donald Trump himself, A, is one, so it's in his self-interest, which means by definition, Donald Trump will be for it. But also because Donald Trump, in his addled mental state, believes that he can be king of the United States of America. And he believes that he can be king because his entire life has taught him one indelible lesson, first told to him by Roy Cohn, which is if you act like a thing is true, if you say something enough, people will eventually believe the mirage. There's no question why Donald Trump is litmus testing the highest officials in his administration to support the lie that Donald Trump won the election in 2020. That's a lie. There's no surprise that he's litmus testing intelligence agency high-level officials to support the lie that January 6th was an inside job. It wasn't. Because if he can get all of us to believe that he is a king, to accept this, to believe that he is winning when he's not, then he believes it will be so. And he'll do this by any means necessary, whether it means torching the Constitution, making our nation less safe, doing business with autocrats and dictators, praising Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un, including tanking our economy to put the Trump tax on the back of the middle class that he swore he would lift up and protect so that he can give more tax cuts to billionaires and corporations like Amazon. If he acts like a king long enough, he truly believes that we will accept that. So I don't know what brand of populism Steve Bannon thinks he's shilling to us, that Donald Trump thinks he's shilling to us, but populism that grants the levers of power to billionaire overlords and places the funding obligations of this federal government on the backs of the middle class ain't populism. It's oligarchy and kleptocracy. I'm going to continue about why Donald Trump is actually losing after these brief messages. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
If you've thought about contributing to a Roth IRA, but you made too much money during your working years, you can have a second chance through a Roth conversion. As you may know, a Roth IRA provides tax-free withdrawals, provided you've had the account at least 5 years and you're at least 59 and a half. A Roth's income limits may have kept you from contributing. However, you can convert your traditional IRA to a Roth. It's not hard to do. But there's a catch. You'll have to pay taxes on the pre-tax dollars you convert. See your tax advisor before making a conversion. If it's appropriate for your situation, you may find that owning a Roth IRA can benefit you and your family for years. This is Clay Kanoke with Edward Jones in Wisconsin Rapids at 715-421-0958.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome, welcome back, everyone. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm talking about what some are calling a looming or already here constitutional crisis. But we had to start at the beginning, the context, the how did we get here stuff, which has been this baloney line from the right. And listen, it goes back to Nixon and Reagan, but probably most clearly articulated by Steve Bannon, doubled down by Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and all of the MAGA movement, that the problem is government itself. And that populism means destroying government, that by destroying government, the middle class will somehow magically do better. But all of that, of course, has only been a sham. The long con, the longest con of any con, to convince regular people to vote against their economic and safety best interests, and to grant billionaires and the richest, most connected people in this country the ability to control our government. Now, I'm going to talk more about this very idea this coming Thursday with Tom Paulswitz, because there's some interesting studies that have been done that basically have said that the things that we agree upon most, regardless of party, the fact that we should be able to regulate, you know, dollar contributions, soft money that funnels into campaigns. Why is it that we can't seem to get that done? And it's because, of course, billionaires who actually control politicians like Donald Trump and the entire MAGA party don't want it to be so. So more on that on Thursday. But again, there's nothing populist about MAGA. This is about tax cuts and favors for those that are billionaires and connected. And maybe if you're lucky enough and your loyalty pledge is strong enough, maybe some drippings, some leftovers for you. So why is Donald Trump proceeding with what Steve Bannon called in 2019 the muzzle velocity, the flood the zone. I think he even used the phrase tiger team. Why is he, you know, proceeding this way? Because in one breath, right, we hear from conservative pundit after conservative pundit, day in, day out on Fox News, Faux News, and every other outlet, that Donald Trump is some kind of a mandate. Well, if he is such a mandate, if he has owned the libs so hard, then why use executive orders at all in the first place? And by the way, he is losing. He is feckless. He is losing. He is stepping on rakes every single day. Every single bit of litigation that has requested an injunction, that a court has considered an injunction, which freezes an executive order, yeah, it's been granted. He hasn't won a single case. There's 45 of them proceeding right now before federal courts. And yesterday, a federal court judge in Rhode Island commanded the Trump administration to comply with his earlier issued order to release grant and loan monies. I'm going to get to what it means if eventually the court believes Donald Trump himself or other executive branch officials are not following an active in-place judicial order. But he is losing. Let's just refresh our recollections again, because so much happening under the muzzle velocity, flood the zone theory of Steve Bannon, which again, not populism. It's about handing the keys of government over to the billionaires that will exploit it, dismantle it to hurt you, your pocketbook, your family, your kids' futures, to give themselves bigger tax breaks, to relieve themselves of the regulations that protect regular people, and to crush small businesses. Two judges have halted that bogus freeze the federal grant and loan monies. That's that Office of OMB memo a couple weeks ago. Not one, but two. That is currently the thing that's putting the greatest amount of pressure on the Trump administration. More on that in a minute. The birthright citizenship. Yep, that's been halted. The fork in the road email trying to get people to resign. Yep, that's been halted. The firing of the inspectors general and other officers. That's been halted. The transfer of transgender women to men's prisons facilities, because I'm sure that would be real safe for them. Yeah, uh-huh. That's been halted. The making public names of FBI agents associated with his retaliatory purge, those that participated per orders with the investigation of those that committed insurrection on January 6th, that's been halted. Removal of officials from the NLRB and other agencies, halted. And I haven't even gotten to all of the injunctions that have been imposed on the mucking about done by Musk and his minions through Doge. They've all been halted. Now, the one that is creating a whole furor of back and forth is the federal judge that has halted Elon Musk's access to the U.S. Treasury systems. Okay? That was halted last week by a federal judge, a judge by the name of Paul Engelmeyer. And on this also included not just access to the federal treasury systems, but access to all sorts of private identifying personal information of federal employees. And in response to that, here's where we get to the are we in a constitutional crisis moment or not? This past Sunday, Elon Musk called to impeach and remove the judge that froze, that stopped Elon Musk's unconstitutional access to the U.S. Treasury Department systems and the confidential information of thousands, tens of thousands of federal employees. He posted this to X. A corrupt judge protecting corruption. He needs to be impeached now. This from a man with $15 billion in contracts supposedly overseeing government efficiency. We're going to pick right back up there and talk about what it means if officials refuse to comply with valid court orders. How far out on the ledge are we? I discuss with you when we come back. Join our conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Phone and text lines are open. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Special Report. American teacher Mark Fogel is back on U.S. soil, meeting with President Trump at the White House after being imprisoned in Russia for 3 years. His mother lives in Pittsburgh.
You know, it's kind of hard to process this because for the last 3.5 years, it seems like every waking moment was about Mark.
Former CBS News Moscow Bureau Chief Beth Noble.
Fogel arrived in Moscow after a vacation at home in August of 2021 with about 0.5 ounce of medical marijuana in his luggage. That's legal in the U.S., but illegal in Russia.
President Trump earlier was asked by reporters if Moscow got anything in return. He said not much. He then referenced Russia and the war in Ukraine.
I hope that's the beginning of a relationship where we can end that war and millions of people can stop being killed. They've lost millions of people. In terms of soldiers, probably 1.5 million soldiers in a short period of time.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks bow to Golden State. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing at home to the Golden State Warriors, 125-111. Stephon Curry led Golden State with 38 points, the most he's had all season. Jimmy Butler had 20 and 9 rebounds in his second game for the Warriors since being traded from the Heat. Damian Lillard also had 38 points in the loss.
I thought we didn't execute well enough out of that, you know, the screening, slipping, getting the guys involved that we wanted to get involved. We didn't do it consistent enough, and then, you know, it was still a close game. Loose balls, they got to them. You know, we allowed them to get off threes. You know, they got a lot of shooters, and I thought they separated themselves, getting threes off, second opportunities, and then, obviously, the turnovers. You know, I felt like I had more turnovers than I ever had in a game today, so you're not going to win a game not valuing every possession against a team that's shooting the ball like that.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Liam Neeson was supposed to be stepping back from action movies, but apparently the genre is too embedded in his DNA. The Irish actor just started filming The Mongoose, where he plays Fang Flanagan, a war hero being accused of crimes he supposedly did not commit. To add a little more macho to the fire is a character named Tanker, played by Ving Rhames. Michael Chiklis plays the bad guy and head of the Texas Highway Patrol who chases Neeson literally throughout the film. Don't give up on action movies, Liam. Very few people can do them at your age. Sticking with action heroes, actor Jason Statham has a new film in the works called Black Bear. That might be a working title. There's not a whole lot of information about the plot, but I'm guessing there's a chase and probably some unexpected gunfire. Now that's sarcasm. Statham plays a man who gets pulled into his violent past and probably messes a few people up. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds in the overnight with our low between 0 and 5 below. Winds light. On Wednesday, we'll see some light snow developing across the area. Accumulations around an inch, maybe two, in some isolated areas. Our highs in the middle teens. Right now, it's 1.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time on Big Show as Supreme Court candidate Susan Crawford joins Trigby Olson and I. And in hour number two, what's worse? Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
What's up, everybody? My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm midway through a bit of my reflections on whether or not we're in a constitutional crisis here in the United States. To be clear, Donald Trump is part of one of the longest cons ever seen in modern politics anywhere. It has never been about the middle class. It has never been about helping you or making your family safer. It has always been about enrichment of Donald Trump and guys just like him, the billionaire class, about reducing regulations, not because they inhibit small businesses from becoming successful, but because they want to dismantle the very regulations that keep you and your family safe to the benefit of the world's largest, most consistently profitable corporations. Why? To, again, enrich the billionaire class. How do we know this? Well, because he put a billionaire overlord in charge of the federal government. Nobody voted for that. Come on. Just untrue. And he's engaged in a political strategy architected by Steve Bannon in 2019, or at least disclosed by Steve Bannon, that's all about, quote, muzzle velocity and flooding the zone and the Tiger Team, which basically means do whatever the hell you want at lightning fast speed, regardless of its constitutionality or general legality, in the hopes that you'll simply overwhelm your opposition, convincing them that indeed you are a king, and they'll all simply sit down, accept it, and stand at attention as Donald Trump really would like us to do. If you have any doubt about that, Calvin, I think it might be time for a little Kim Jong-un reminder and Donald Trump. Yeah, he wants to be king. He's acting as if he were a king. Because he wants us all to stand up at attention. Cut 18.
He's the head of a country, and I mean, he is the strong head. Mm-hmm. Don't let anyone think anything different. Right. He speaks and his people sit up at attention. I want my people to do the same.
Yeah, talking about Kim Jong-un. Who wants to move to North Korea. I love North Carolina. North Korea, anyone? Because what's happening now is what happens in authoritarian states. They ignore the law. They bully those who try to enforce the law or stand by laws and principles. They demand loyalty pledges for everyone that might work for them. And they dole out favors and access to those that control their political future. You know, the oligarchy. That's what we've got right now. But is it what we have to have? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And in fact, again, as I've been pointing out, Donald Trump is losing in the courts. Courts are turning back his attempts. So what's really going on here? Is it sort of he's making a bet that the Supreme Court will eventually be like, yeah, it's just the Constitution. Just torch that sucker. Or is he making a bet that we just accept that he's king and stand down? No one really knows, but I don't think any of that matters. Because if Donald Trump truly had a mandate, if he truly was as strong as he tells us every day he is, if this wasn't some sort of weird political WWE kayfabe sort of BS adventure, what he would do is he would move slowly. He would attack the parts of government that are the weakest, the least understood, the most vulnerable. He would enact laws stripping power away from Congress, allocating it to the executive branch wherever possible. And he'd do it under cloak of night, slowly, through legislation passed by Congress. But he's not doing that. He's just flooding the zone with muzzle velocity, and he's losing every day, losing, 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 losing. Been told on the chat line that he has now signed yet another order saying that they're going to get rid of, I think, what is it? 3 of every 4 federal employees, 1 of every 4, something like that. That'll be enjoined by a federal court as well. Because federal service civil service rules are enshrined in law. And by the way, even the executive orders that seem to have some teeth are terribly written, shoddily constructed, nearly impossible to implement. It's a clown show because Donald Trump is a clown. He is a useful idiot, if you will, to people like Vladimir Putin and Elon Musk, who, again, don't really have any core set of principles or values other than accumulating more wealth and power. So let's keep in mind this. There are approximately 262 million people in the United States of voting age. Donald Trump has no mandate. He topped, what, 77 million? That even close to half. That is not a mandate. It is certainly not a mandate or a green light to decimate the federal government, to torch our Constitution, to violate our most closely held principles and values as Americans. And he doesn't proceed legislatively because Congress would stop it. Even though Republicans hold both houses, they only hold them by razor-thin margins. And there are enough Democrats and Democrats of good faith that they would bring transparency, process, and deliberation if he tried to move legislatively. And of course, if he were to move legislatively and actually enact laws to do these things that he seeks to do that are illegal and unconstitutional, those would be likely nearly impervious to legal challenge. He could indeed remake government if he really wanted to do it. But the fact that he is proceeding this way and in this manner shows his hand. Not only is it incompetent and in many ways unconstitutional without a mandate, it's weak. Because Donald Trump knows that he, the man, is weak and thin-skinned and susceptible to flattery and manipulation by, again, the Elon Musks of the world, the Vladimir Putins of the world, even, yes, Kim Jong-un. And Republicans know this. Reporting by The Bulwark has told us that 12 Republicans across both houses of Congress, 12 that we know of, have sent letters to their constituents trying to calm their fears about Elon Musk's influence in federal government. Now, that's pretty interesting. If all of this was on the up and up, if there was some overwhelming mandate, why the need for the letter? These include Representative Rob Whitman, Republican of Virginia, Representative Mike Flood of Nebraska, Dan Webster, Florida, Ben Klein, Virginia, Deb Fischer of Nebraska, and Senator John Curtis of Utah. Why the letters if there is such a mandate, if all of this is so clearly legal? And we know he's weak because certain members of his very own administration, despite all the loyalty testing, all the interview questions, all the lying, all the misdirection, all the pay attention to whether trans women are playing sports when a billionaire is robbing us blind, his very own personnel are starting to leak. And they're starting to say, I didn't know about that. Oh, wait, that wasn't put through the process. Nope, I didn't have anything to do with that. So what is the response of a scared, weak animal when cornered? It's to lash out and double down. And that is what we're seeing from Elon Musk, from J.D. Vance, from Tom Cotton. J.D. Vance tweeted this weekend, if a judge tried to tell a general how to conduct a military operation, that would be illegal. If a judge tried to command the attorney general on how to use her discretion as a prosecutor, that's also illegal. Judges aren't allowed to control the executive's legitimate power. First of all, J.D., you should ask Yale for your money back, because if that is the quality of the law degree you got from Yale, you should get your money back. J.D. Vance knows very damn well that that is exactly the role of judges in this democracy, to establish the limits of each branch's authority, including sometimes executive branch authority, especially at times the authority of the executive branch. And while there is wide granted to military leaders and a commander-in-chief to execute war, they are still bound by the laws of war. And while prosecutors have great discretion to decide how to charge, whom to investigate, etc., there are limits. Elon Musk wrote also this weekend, not just calling for the impeachment of a federal judge who decided maybe a billionaire overlord shouldn't have access and the keys to the entire kingdom and all of its personnel. He also tweeted this: democracy in America is being destroyed by judicial coup. An activist judge is not a real judge. What about those activist judges, Elon, on the Supreme Court that decided women didn't have the right to choose? Do they count too? He continued, we are witnessing an attempted coup of American democracy by radical left activists posing as judges. No, Elon, we are witnessing an attempted coup of American democracy by you, an unelected foreign-born billionaire with $15 billion worth of conflicts of interest, who's put publicly pronounced proud racists in charge of sensitive government confidential secrets, of our personnel information, of trillions of dollars of grants and loan programs. Guys barely out of their acne phase, stumbling about our payment systems? That sounds like an attempted coup. Judges enforcing our Constitution, our balance of powers, our separation of powers, the idea of three co-equal branches of government. That isn't a coup, Elon. That's actually democracy. Tom Cotton doubling down on these ideas over the weekend. Obama judge Paul Engelmeyer just didn't bar Elon Musk and Doge from Treasury systems. He barred the Secretary of the Treasury himself. It should be forbidden by higher courts from ever hearing another case against the Trump administration. From ever hearing another case against the Trump administration? Senator Cotton, by the way, he's got a law degree too. This is, of course, utter bat guano of the highest order, and they all know this. And in fact, conservative Chief Supreme Court Justice John Roberts took note of these kinds of threats. And in his year-end report said this: every administration suffers defeats in the court system, sometimes in cases with major ramifications for executive or legislative power or other consequential topics. Nevertheless, for the past decades, the decisions of the courts, popular or not, have been followed. Within the past few years, however, elected officials from across the political spectrum have raised the specter of open disregard for federal court rulings. These dangerous suggestions must be soundly rejected. When I come back, I'm going to tell you the options if the Trump administration refuses to follow court orders. Right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'll also take a couple calls and text 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-7255. 48-42. What happens next, we discuss.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all the fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
They're pushing it indeed, folks. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm talking about the Trump administration pushing the outer boundaries of our constitutional democracy. And I want to end today talking about what are the possibilities if administration officials refuse to follow valid court orders. We're seeing glimmers of that just this week, with Trump administration officials being ordered by a federal Article III judge in Rhode Island to restore grant and loan funding. As of today, there are still reports that certain federal monies that were affected by that ridiculous OMB memo have still not been restored. So what happens when the rubber meets the road? All of this was ostensibly resolved back during the Marbury versus Madison decision. But notably in that decision that sort of proclaimed the right of the judicial branch of government to decide the outer bounds of executive and legislative authority. The court took great care in that decision to say that they were deciding the law. They came short of actually trying to mandate compliance with their pronouncement of the law. It happened again in a different way following the decision of Brown v. Board of Education. President Eisenhower sent the 101st Airborne Division to Little Rock to forcibly integrate the schools. And infamously, in 1832, Andrew Jackson said this about a decision that he didn't like from the Supreme Court. John Marshall has made his decision, now let him enforce it. And in fact, J.D. Vance has invoked those lines from Andrew Jackson in a 2021 interview. He said this, when the courts stop you, stand before the country like Andrew Jackson did and say the Chief Justice has made his ruling. Now let him enforce it. So are we looking at, I don't know, U.S. Marshals trying to lock up Trump administration officials, holding contempt, a series of contempt rulings? Maybe. Maybe. But here's what I predict. I predict that the impacts of all of this stupidity from the Trump administration, which haven't yet, in any meaningful way, started to impact or affect his voters, yeah, that's going to start to happen. And if Republicans are already sending letters to their constituents in deep Trump districts saying, don't worry, Elon Musk isn't really in control when he is, I think the dissatisfaction is only going to grow. We saw that already. There was a special election, I think in Iowa, and a Democrat won in a district that was won handily by Donald Trump this past November. And so what does this tell us about this moment? The fractures in the MAGAverse are real. Don't believe the hype. He's losing. He is weak. He cannot do this constitutionally by legislating these things because he would lose even more bigly, as he would say. So what does this mean for you? It means stand up. Let's re-engage the grassroots. We don't have to agree about everything. Those arguments can come later. Let's agree about these things, that active corruption in our federal government is not okay, that politically driven prosecutions are not okay, that our intelligence officials need to be able to tell the truth to the president, that Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un aren't to be lionized and held up, that we don't need to stand at attention before our president, that free speech needs to indeed be free regardless of the content of that speech, and that money isn't speech, corporations are not people, and that we don't want a billionaire overlord. We can say these things. Most of us agree about them. So let's start saying them. Call your congresspeople, call your senators, call your state reps and your state assembly people and say, we want you to follow the law. We believe that there are facts, that our elected officials should tell us the truth, and that we don't like billionaire overlords. Joe from Madison, thanks for calling. What do you have to say this afternoon?
I was going to go off on a different tack, but you've pushed me in a different direction. And that is this question about whether you could indeed have federal marshals go to Trump or Trump officials and say, you must, you know, we're in contempt of court. You have to, you know, go ahead with what the court has ordered you to do. Would that work, Maggie, if federal marshals are under the control of the Department of Justice, right? So if the Department of Justice doesn't go along with that, you're out of luck. So who is the next entity that could enforce a court order? Would it?
This is where we're at, Joe. I got to jump in here because ultimately, remember those confirmation hearings? When appointees are asked, what if you're given an unconstitutional order? Then what? We might be fast approaching the test of their answers to those very questions. Thanks for sticking with me, folks. Dom Salvia is up next on The Dom Salvia Show. We will continue this discussion every day as it is essential to the health and success and future of our democracy. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it is always better when we stand together. I don't know what
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Pat Kreitlow.
Well, that's me, but I won't be here. I'm off this week, so Greg Bach and Kristen Lierley will be filling in Monday through Thursday, Todd Alba on Friday.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Oh, by the way, Ivan's no longer on the project. His wife got a new job, so they're moving across the country.
Robin's top researcher is deviating to a new market. This isn't standard.
And now we're short-staffed. Who's going to finish all these projects?
She needs a cluster of new data analysts, and there's no margin for error.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. After spending over 3 years in Russian captivity,
I feel like the luckiest man on earth right now.
American teacher Mark Fogel is welcomed back to the U.S. by President Trump and others at the White House, including House Speaker Mike Johnson and Secretary of State Marco Rubio. Fogel saying,
I want you to know that I am not a hero in this at all. And President Trump is a hero. These men that came from the diplomatic service are heroes.
The Pennsylvania teacher was held in Russia since 2021 after medical marijuana used for chronic back pain was found in his luggage. President Trump also used Fogel's arrival to make another announcement.
Somebody else is being released tomorrow that you will know of, but we wanted to get this done. Very important.
A busy day at the White House where President Trump hosted Jordan's King Abdullah earlier.